Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the life that's in your word. I thank you for the comfort that's in your word. I thank you for the healing that's in your word. I thank you for knowing that your word is true, that it never fails. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that you're a covenant-keeping God. That you're a loving God. You're a merciful God. You're the God of the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You're the all-sufficient one, Father. Father, I thank you for the preparation of my heart. But without your Holy Spirit, there's no way I can stand here and even deliver the word that you put in my heart. Because, Lord, you every time we stand here, you want your word to go forth and land on a fertile soil of our hearts, my brother's and sister's heart, my heart. There's something you want to reveal to us every time we gather, Father. Every time we get together, you want to speak to us. Not just when we gather here, but 24/7, Father, you're wanting to develop a relationship with us. So, Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your anointing. And I give you all the praise and all the glory because you are so worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Mark on Sunday did a message on, talked a lot about the unexpected. And I began to ponder and I began to think on that. And we're going to look at a whole chapter tonight. It's a chapter we're all familiar with. It's a subject that's taught many times in Sunday school. Little children know all about this chapter. But as I began to look at it, as I began to meditate on what was said in this chapter, as I began to ponder on what was in this chapter, and I began to get quiet and ask the Holy Spirit to show me things that are in this chapter, it's not the same as I remember it. And I'm going to try to impart that tonight. I want you to open your Bibles to John chapter 11. And it just so happens that John is the only one that talks about this event. It's not mentioned in the other three Gospels. Matthew doesn't talk about it. Mark doesn't talk about it. Luke doesn't talk about it. Only Jesus talks about this particular event. John chapter 11. I'm going to start in verse 1. And I'm going to read it all the way to the end of the chapter. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of a sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha had met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Okay, there's a lot there. The word Lazarus of Bethany, the word Lazarus means whom God helps. That's what his name means, whom God helps. And there's two other times that Jesus actually raises someone from the dead. We're not going to cover them tonight. But in Mark 5:35 to 43, The ruler of the synagogue's daughter is raised from the dead. In Luke 7, 11 to 17, the widow of Nain's son is raised from the dead. So there's three different accounts in the New Testament in which Jesus raises someone from the dead. But this particular account is different. And in verse 3, I want to go back and I'm just going to go through this. In verse 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Okay, we know that Jesus loved Lazarus, loved Mary, and loved Martha. And here we have a situation where the sisters is sending a word unto Jesus, Lazarus is sick. Now, did Jesus already know that? He already knew that. Jesus already knows. See, the title I gave to this lesson tonight is There is No Unexpected with God. God knows everything. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. He knows everything in between. There is no unexpected with God. And as Pastor Mark shared on Sunday, see, we don't have that infinite mind yet. We have a finite mind. So we get caught off guard many times with many things that happen in our lives because it comes to us as unexpected. But to God, He already knows. He already knows that Lazarus that he was sick. But see, Mary and Martha thought that by sending this message to Jesus, what did you think they thought? Jesus is the Son of God. He's just going to drop everything because he loved them. They were close to him. They're probably thinking in their mind, he's going to drop everything and come to take care of Lazarus right now. See, they may have expected, but they didn't expect the unexpected that Jesus did. Because what did Jesus do? Did Jesus drop what he was doing and take off and go to where Lazarus was? No. Because it said that God stayed where he was at another 2 days. He stayed another 2 days. And many times in unexpected events that occur in our life, sometimes God has a delay, and that's why it takes time. Sometimes it takes time for God to show us the full extent of those unexpected things that happen in our life, because it takes time for Him to show us that. But here's a delay. In Mary and Martha's eyes, this is a big delay. You know, where's Jesus? They don't know that he's saying, well, I'm going to stay here an extra 2 days. They don't know it's going to be 4 days before he gets to Lazarus. But they're going, why doesn't Jesus drop everything he's doing and rush over to Lazarus? We know how much he loves him. Why isn't he dropping everything? Because God has a plan and a purpose for everything that occurs in our life. Even as Pastor Mark shared on Sunday, even the unexpected things that occur in our life, God is never caught unexpected. And I remember the first time Pastor Mark ministered that to me. I'm like, oh, I don't want to hear that now. But it's true. God is never caught off guard. God is never caught with the unexpected in our lives. He knows. And He knows what He's going to have to do to get us through it and to carry us through it so that we can see, just like we see in this, Lazarus' death here was to bring glory to God. Everything we do is about bringing glory to God. Everything that occurs in our lives is to bring glory to God. We don't always understand the steps that we have to go through to get there, but that's God's plan. Now, have any of us ever said, Lord, what if you really love me, why don't you respond quicker? Why don't you give me an answer quicker? And God loved Lazarus. God loved Mary. God loved Martha. I wrote this down. The ones who love us the most sometimes take longer to arrive. That's kind of hard to wrap our brain around. Because see, everything the Lord does is beyond our notion of time. His time frame is infinite. Our time frame is finite. So His notion of time is different than our time. Even though He knows what's going on in our life at all times. So here's where we have something that Mary and Martha are expecting that Jesus turns into an unexpected. He doesn't come running. Okay, so we have something that you and I expect that now they get to share in the unexpected of what Jesus does. He doesn't respond the way they expect Him to respond. Okay, so let's go down here and look at the next thing. In verse 6 was where it says he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he, to his disciples, let us go unto Judea. Okay, here's another unexpected that Jesus does. Because what do they say to him? His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Are you crazy? You're going back to Judea? See, Jesus' response on what He was going to do, the disciples, it was unexpected to them. They didn't expect Him to want to go back into Judea. But see, He knew the Father's heart. So He knew He had to go back into Judea. And then this is interesting what He says in verse 9. Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. In some of the commentaries I looked at, it says 12 hours was a figurative term of time allotted by God, the Father, for the earthly work to be done. Now, when you look at this passage here, it says, if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not. Isn't it much easier to do things in the light than it is in the dark? So as I was meditating on this, the Lord goes, when you walk in my light, you're not going to stumble. You're not going to fall. We get in trouble when we're not walking in the light of Jesus. And he's trying to make a point here that he stumbles because there is no light in him. See, when we have the light of Jesus inside us, it's illuminating our path. Doesn't the Bible say the steps of a righteous are ordered by the Lord? He's in us. He's the light of the world. He's illuminating that path for us to walk in. And he knows why we need to do that, just like he knew why he had to go back to Judea. The disciples didn't understand that. It was an unexpected thing that Jesus said he had to do. They were like, this doesn't make sense. You know they want to stone you. But he's going, if I get done what the Lord tells me to do in the daylight, we'll be fine. He reassured them. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. So he's letting them know that his friend Lazarus is sick and he needs to go see them. It says, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest. So they're thinking, okay, Jesus said Lazarus is asleep. It's not urgent. He's just sleeping. He's sick, but he's sleeping. So we got plenty of time to get there. And Jesus responds by saying, Lazarus is dead. We're going to learn something that I wasn't aware of. So then Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Okay. Now, I didn't understand this, but I guess in the Jewish traditions, 4 days is a very important number. Okay? And let me find it here. It says, tradition was that grief reached its height on the third day. The spirit hovered about the tomb, if perhaps it might return to the body. So that was the belief of the Jewish people, that the spirits would hang around the tomb. And that's why when we look at Mary or Martha and those were that with her, the Jewish people that were with her, there was such a wailing. There was a loud wailing. Okay? That was part of the spirits that were still around. But on the fourth day, they depart. And on the fourth day, that person is considered dead in their eyes. Okay? So in 17, it says, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Familiar, huh? Didn't Mary? Which one sat at Jesus' feet? Who's that? Mary. Okay? Martha was busy, all over. Nothing's changed. Mary sat, still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you would have just showed up on time as I expected you to do, my brother wouldn't have died. But see, Jesus had other plans. Jesus had other purposes. And we're going to see, before we get done with this, that everything that Jesus does, whether we understand it, whether it's expected or unexpected, the purpose that God has is for His Son to be glorified and for life to come out of every situation and event that occurs in our life, expected or unexpected. That's God's desire. And I want to go back because I missed something here. In verse 14, it says, "Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." Here's another thing the disciples didn't expect. Jesus says, "I am glad for your sakes." Wait a second. Our Savior is saying, "I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Can you imagine going through a very difficult time and the Lord says, "I'm glad for your sake"? That's hard. But we're going to see that he had a purpose for this. Verse 22, he says, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask God, God will give it to thee." See, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus all knew Jesus was the Son of God. And they all knew that when Jesus spoke to the Father heard what he asked and answered his prayers. She knew that. Because she speaks one thing in verse 21, and then she speaks something different in verse 22. So she's kind of going back and forth. She's kind of teetering here. Because in verse 21 it says, "Then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Then, here's that but. Remember that three-letter word, but? She's negating what she just said because she said, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee." Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." See, isn't that what Mary and Martha wanted? They wanted Jesus to show up so that Lazarus would be able to rise again. And Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of God, which should come into this world." And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, "The master or teacher is come and calleth for thee." And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Mary fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. See, Jesus is moved. Jesus, what we're about to see is the physical aspect of Jesus when he's on this earth. He had emotions. He had feelings. He knows our feelings. He knows our emotions. When we're hurting, He's hurting. He knows everything that we're going through whenever we're going through it. He knows how to comfort us. He knows how to speak the right words to us. He knows all that. And said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And I wrote, the Lord had me write some things down here. See, God's delays are not denials. They never are denials from God. And sometimes the things that the Lord has us go through is to perfect His character in you and I that we would never choose in our life. And hold your place right there. I want to go over and read something here. Because find it here. Hebrews 5, verse 8. It says, "Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered." See, none of us like to go through suffering. None of us like to experience those hurts that we sometimes go through. And Pastor Mark said something on Sunday about all our tears are bottled. God has every one of our tears bottled. And when Jesus wept here, I wrote down four things. When Jesus saw that Mary wept, God sees every one of our tears. God is touched by every one of our tears. God remembers our tears, just as Pastor Mark said. They're bottled. Psalm 56:8 is where that scripture's at. And God acts to dry our tears. Why? Because He loves us so much. He's the only one that has the ability to do that. No one else has the ability to do that. Only God. Only God can take away our tears. Only God can bottle our tears. And sometimes God is the only one who sees our tears. But He's faithful. He's faithful. And He always shows up. God always shows up. And in verse 37, "And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" That happens to all of us. When God doesn't show up when we expect Him to show up, many of us feel this way. Well, He's the Son of God. He knows. Remember, Jim Lockwood did a teaching on the God of delay. The God of delay. The God who doesn't show up exactly at that time. Doesn't show up exactly at that moment. But yet He does. You and I are never alone in anything and everything we go through. God is right there with us. Sometimes He's the only comfort. Sometimes He's the only pleasant voice that we hear. And all the time, He's the only one who knows how to love us. with an unfailing love. He's the only one. We try, but we fail one another sometimes. But see, God never fails. God never fails. It says, therefore, Jesus, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, a stone lay upon it. You know, this death of Lazarus is almost like a prelude to Jesus in the tomb. When you look at all the scenarios, Lazarus is in the tomb. Stone gets rolled away. Jesus is in a tomb. Stone gets rolled away. Verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Did Jesus already know that? Is Jesus moved by how bad we stink? Is Jesus moved by how bad we look? No. No, he doesn't. I wrote this down. Resurrection or new life does not occur when all is sterile and clean and smelling like our favorite cologne. Doesn't always work that way. A lot of times, some of the greatest things that occur in our life is when we do stink. When we do not look great. But to God, we're in a perfect place for Him to do something miraculous. Just like He's getting ready to do right here, He's getting ready to do something miraculous. He's taking someone who's been in a tomb, been dead for 4 days. In verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Now Jesus is reminding Mary and Martha that this is all about the glory of God. All those unexpecteds in our life is about one thing, the glory of God. God will be glorified in all those unexpecteds of our lives. How? I don't know. When? I don't know. But God knows how to take all those unexpecteds and bring glory to His name, to cause resurrection life to come from situations and circumstances. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Okay, let's look at this situation a second. Here we are. Lazarus is dead in the tomb. And Jesus is talking to the Father, thanking the Father for always hearing him. And then he says, and I know that thou hearest me always. Well, Jesus is going to look really bad here if his Father doesn't hear him. Because he's already said, in so many words, he's told Mary and Martha he's going to rise again. Speaking of Lazarus. So, Jesus is actually saying here, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. But Jesus already knows that when he talks to the Father hears him. He already knows that when the Father tells him to do something, he's going to do it, and the Father is behind him. But what's the purpose of it all? But because of the people which stand by, I said it, and that they may believe that thou sent me. All the unexpected in our lives are for a greater purpose and a greater plan than we can imagine or understand. They're for a greater purpose. And that's what Jesus is saying here. But because of the people which stand by, I said it. He said that so that all the people that are around there, because it's God's desire that none should perish. But God has a divine plan and a time for every one of us. It says, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, and we've all heard many stories on this. It's a good thing he said, Lazarus, come forth. Because he called him by name, because if he would have just said, come forth, probably everyone in the graveyard would have come out. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. So here's Lazarus. He's raised from the dead. He comes out of the tomb. He still has grave clothes. Think about your life when you first came to Christian Service Center or you first got saved. You too were in grave clothes. You too were still entangled. You still were entwined in those grave clothes. Now, Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Did Jesus remove the grave clothes from Lazarus? No. He said to them, loose him and let him go. Unbind, release from bonds, set free. See, when we are filthy and stink and are dying, and the resurrection of power of Jesus Christ touches our lives, we're no different than Lazarus. We get raised from that old dead man, but we still have grave clothes. There's still areas that we need to be set free on. That's where you and I come in as brothers and sisters, because we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to help Ruth be set free. I have a responsibility to help Frank be set free. Frank has a responsibility to help Bill set free. We're all family. And Jesus said, loose them and let him go. That's how we get free. We get free by the uncompromised word that Pastor Mark teaches. We get free by the uncompromised word that Pastor Bill has established over all these years. But it takes you and I working together to get all those grave clothes off of us. We can't do it by ourselves. We need each other. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed unto him. Pastor Bill said this a long time ago, and I'll never forget it. He said the greatest witness that you and I have, that no one can deny, no one can ever take away from us, is that changes that Jesus has done in your life and in my life. When resurrection life comes into your life and my life, we are like Lazarus. We get set free. We come out of that old man. We become a new man. We have new life come in us. And the grave clothes start to come off. We start to look different. We start to smell different. We start to act different. No one can ever tell you any different. People can argue Scripture, but they can't argue what Jesus has done in your life or my life. They can't argue that. They can't dispute that. Because most of the people that we know knew what we were like before. And then they see a resurrected. They see us resurrected. They see us a new person. Because we were dead. We were dead in trespasses. We probably stunk as bad as Lazarus. Except Lazarus was 4 days. I had 26, 27 years of stinking. And as I was meditating on this, you know when Jesus says, I know you by your name? I know every one of my sheep by your name. And there's no other voice that you will follow. When we got saved, I had a picture of Jesus seeing me as Lazarus, seeing me as dead, seeing me as a stinking corpse, bound. He said, Larry, come forth. And I answered, and I heard that voice, and I came forth. But that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough just to come forth. Soon I had to answer the call because we knew 5 years before the Lord sent us down here, we had to be here. We had to be here. We needed to be under this uncompromised word for us to fully get set free, for us to fully be the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. I needed every one of you. And when the unexpected in our lives come, you know how we get through it? By being there for one another. By lifting one another up. By helping remove those grave clothes. By helping release one another from the bonds that hold us. That's how we do it. It's the only way we can do it. You know what? You know one of the things I was so excited about on Sunday? There was a lot of things to be excited about on Sunday. The word Pastor Mark delivered was powerful. But you know what the most excited me? Was before he even started the message, he announced Tiffany was in charge of the sound in that area back there. You know why I got excited? And I got more excited after I went through this chapter. Because it was like the Lord said, I'm taking that responsibility off of you, Pastor Mark. He's not going to let go of it completely, okay? He likes being there. But he was just like he was getting unwrapped. He was getting freer. He was able, and I'm like, that was exciting. Because it was like Tiffany goes, okay, I'm gonna loose you, Pastor Mark. I'm gonna set you free. And that's exciting. Because the more that happens, the more we all step up and become the resurrected Lazarus and begin to do what God has called us to do, we won't get bent out of shape. Well, we might. We probably will. We definitely will, okay? Because our human nature, we still have emotions. We still have feelings, okay? But there's nothing, this is what I want to close with. There's nothing unexpected with God. Nothing. He's never caught off guard. He's never surprised. And in Revelation 22:13, he says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. What does that not cover? That covers everything. He knows the beginning to the end. He knows the beginning to the halfway point. He knows the halfway point to the three-quarter point. He knows the three-quarter place to the end. He knows all of it. So, and because he knows all of it, he has the ability to take say this right, Lord. Because he knows everything, because he knows the beginning to the end, he has the ability to take all those unexpected situations and circumstances in our life to mold us, to make us, to shape us, to form us. To be more like him. Because when you look at the life of Jesus Christ upon this earth, the things he had to suffer, the things he had to go through, the things he had to take, the things he had to hear, the beatings he had to take, the skin that he had ripped off. Keep going. Father, that was your son. How can you allow that? He knew. He knew. Because in Hebrews, Jesus says, it says, Jesus endured the cross that was set before him. Looking unto the Father. Jesus was always looking beyond the cross. Jesus was looking at being restored again with his Father. That's why it was so hard for him when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew that there was going to come a time that there would be a separation. That was hard. That was hard for Jesus. But see, Jesus was God. So Jesus knew the beginning, and he knew the end. He knew what he was going to have to go through. But he had to go through it as a man so he could relate to whatever you and I go through. There's nothing that we go through that he can't relate to, that he didn't experience. That's how loving of a God he is. He is. God is able to take every situation in our lives and turn it into his glory. Every situation. And He will use every situation and every circumstance in our life to cause His resurrection power to be seen and known by those who do not know Him. And there's no one that stinks enough. There's no one that smells enough. There's no one that's bad enough that Jesus didn't die for. That's why Jesus went to the grave. That's why Jesus rose again. That's why Jesus went and took captivity captive. He did that for every... Because you know what? When we get born again, we get to experience resurrection life. We get to experience the resurrection power. And thank you, Lord. In the unexpected times of our life, there is something that we have to know that is very powerful. And I was sharing this with Sue yesterday. For some reason, the Lord had me go back and listen to a tape by a guy by the name of Dr. Eby, who died, went to heaven. 5 years later, the Lord took him to hell. And I went back and I listened to his testimony. But I heard something this time when I was listening to him that I never heard before. And this is a key component, and it's why that God, and it's why this church, I thank God for this church. Because I was told at one time that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was not for today. That was the biggest lie ever perpetrated on this earth. And after listening to Dr. Eby, he was on a program and they were interviewing him, husband and wife. And the husband and wife ministry believes in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they make sure that their members of their church get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And Dr. Eby said, when I was in heaven, because he was a doctor, he was very smart, he goes, I said, God, there's no language here. He goes, yeah, there is. And God showed him that when we speak in tongues, that heavenly language is a language that will be used forever in heaven, because that language is a language that directly allows us to communicate to God. And the Lord showed him that short amount of time he's in heaven, he goes, I gave you a heavy heavenly language and the ability to speak in tongues. And when you pray and speak in tongues, the enemy cannot understand, doesn't know what's being said, doesn't know what's going on back and forth between you and Father God. It's a communication that only the two of you have. And when he said that, I'm like, wow. Because, you know, when we go through times of our life, when we get involved in things that are unexpected, and the other scripture came to me, is he says, building yourself up in the most holy by praying in tongues. When we're down, when we're struggling, and when we don't know what to say, and we don't know what to do, the Lord goes, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Spirit, because you're going to be praying. And it talks about in Romans, utterances that are not known. But when we begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, we start to build ourselves up. We start to communicate. We start sending things, feelings, and other things that we can't even express with our own human mouth. We begin speaking to Him in a language that He understands, and what we're praying is what the Holy Ghost knows that we need in those situations and circumstances to build us up and to get us through it. And that's why the Holy Spirit is so, so, so important. I mean, I knew it was important, but all of a sudden something just jumped in my spirit. Because I had a man lie to me, and I knew that wasn't right. I knew it wasn't right. And I battled 2.5 hours one night because my wife got baptized in the Holy Spirit and fell out. And all I could remember was a man that told me it wasn't for today, and I said, Lord, someone's lying. She was flying out the next day to go back to New York. I got alone. I said, Lord, I'm not getting up off this floor until I know what the truth is because someone's lying. And your word, you don't lie. And it was a battle because the devil did not want me to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This has nothing to do with my message, but I'm going that route for some reason. I don't know why. Because there's power. There's power when we pray in the Holy Ghost. Things get changed in the spiritual realm that we don't even know about. Unexpected situations that may be coming up get changed, and we don't even know about it. But with God, there is no unexpected. He's got everything under control. Everything. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for knowing that you're never caught off guard. That we can trust you. Even when we don't understand, even when we have all these questions going through our spirit, through our mind, Lord, you have the ability to just take us up by your everlasting arms. You have the ability to hold us, to love us, to minister to us, and to lead us, Lord, with your hand. Through everything that we go through that we don't understand, Lord, you have that ability. Because your mercy, Lord, is new every day. Your love never, never, never fails. Your love causes us to long for a more intimate relationship with you. Because you are so worthy, Lord. So worthy. Lord, we just praise you and we just thank you. Because nothing that we do is about ourselves, Lord. Even though we want to think that sometimes, it's really not. It's about you. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus being glorified. About Jesus being lifted up. Because when Jesus is lifted up, you said you would draw all men unto you. Lord, I pray that Jesus was lifted up here tonight. I pray that Jesus was glorified here tonight. I thank you for your comfort when we don't know why. But Lord, when we don't know and we don't have words to express you, we do have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we can begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, and you will give us direction. You'll give us the comfort. You'll give us all we need. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for never leaving us. Thank you for never forsaking us. Oh, we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.